time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
When the flood came through the mountain, it hit Mystic at the headwater, but the river is 120 miles. And it was complete devastation through the entire thing. I mean, people scattered from the beginning to the end. But the game changer, the ones that changed the dynamic of every single thing were those excavator drivers.
Never quit. Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
I know I look good. I've been fasting, working out. Just got my beard trimmed up.
Did you?
No, but my hair got cut though. It looks awesome.
The beard's strong.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It's really big.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive.
I'm a holy man. Holy men have beards.
Not all.
This one does. I'm going to shave it for you. Don't worry.
For my birthday.
I didn't agree to that just yet, but okay.
That's a long ways out. I thought
you agreed to that.
I did. I just wanted
forever.
I just wanted,
but this year you didn't do it.
Well, we got a fake Christmas tree.
That is hilarious. That's my punishment.
That's how I revolted. I can't yell or anything anymore, so I revolted.
That is hilarious. Oh my gosh.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're getting this show. So today, before we get into this, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. And this week, we've got... what is a never again experience that you have done that you just absolutely hated?
I know mine.
God, that's a great question.
I know mine 100%. Two of them. Last year, I took the kids to Fiesta, Texas, and I thought that I still had it in me to do a roller coaster. I've passed that. Like, there's some age where you just shouldn't do that anymore. And I'm definitely past that age because I'm thinking, yeah, I've got this. Axe had never been on a real roller coaster before. So I wanted to be the cool mom and ride it with him. I immediately vomited afterwards. I felt like total crap. Remember this? I called you. I was so sick. I was sick for like 2 days because I got on a freaking roller coaster.
How about you? You're still young, so there's...
Mine actually just happened this weekend.
What?
Trying to bomb hot sauce.
You tried that?
I've done it multiple times, and this time I just could not stop crying.
Wait.
Like, tearing up.
Well, like, the one the at bomb, the bomb?
The one that's in the fridge at the ranch?
That one, yep.
That's not
that the, has been there since 2020.
Yeah. We got that during quarantine.
I know. And I got sneaky chicken fingered with it.
It's got a wild hair. Somebody dosed you or did you do it
No, they just dosed like a chicken finger and put it on a plate and said, here we go. Like, who wants one? Didn't tell anyone and I grabbed it.
Well, hey, that's not funny.
It really got me.
That's like getting spiked at the bar.
It put me down. I'm not lying.
Is that what made you sick?
It could have. It definitely could have, because, I mean, it put me on my butt for, I mean, a solid probably 45 minutes to an hour, and just couldn't stop tearing up. Like, it was coming in like crazy.
That is hilarious. Was Cameron cracking up?
She tried it too, actually. So after that happened, everybody kind of just started trying it because they wanted to taste it.
And what is that about things that cause you pain? Like, oh, let's all
do it. Yeah, let's all do it.
Just started doing it. So we all
got horrible helix. Let's try that.
We all did it, and our whole crew was reeled down for a solid hour.
Because that stuff doesn't even taste good.
No.
It doesn't even taste good. Some of them do. Some of the hard ones that taste good, at least. Mm. That one doesn't.
No. It tastes like metal.
Yeah, metal.
Yeah, like you're licking metal that's so hot.
It's terrible. All right, what about you?
That's a tough one, man. I don't know. Probably climb a mountain again. I don't have that in me anymore.
Marcus hates hikes.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Morgan wants me to climb Everest. That's his thing. Like, he wants us to climb freaking Everest. I don't understand it. But I don't have that in me anymore, man. I thought it was scuba diving, but once I got in the water when we were in Hawaii and got back under, I liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I loved it a lot.
I love an easy stroll hike.
I know you do.
Thank you for going on it with me.
You're welcome. Like, every time you want to go to the mountains and go in the summertime to go hiking, I'm like, oh, God. I just don't say anything.
I don't like anything like strenuous where it feels like I'm going to fall off the side or whatever. But I love like a beautiful just stroll hike.
Yeah, mine probably had to be the mountains. I mean, living up there is great, but you know, the hike and the climb, I don't have that in me anymore. For sure. I'll think about it some more. I'll come up with another one. But that one, well, off the top of my head, was it.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, so let's get into a few different things that we've been up to this summer.
Yeah, so today we're doing a summer recap. The kids just went back to school this week, so we're back to normal.
Routine. Grocery store visits, working out.
Yeah, we both just started a workout routine, and we're really excited about it. So we'll watch our progress for the next several months.
Yeah, we'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited about it. Most people do that at New Year's, but I feel like for us, it needs to be... Yeah, it's when school goes back.
That's proven to be difficult.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve. Matter of fact, National Quit Day is January 10th.
Yeah.
So I think if...
So we're just going to start in August.
Yeah, just start in August. Or at least wait till the 10th and then start on the 11th, right?
Yeah.
Just think about working out every day from January 1st till the 10th. And then on January 11th, you start.
Yeah. So we started August and we'll go all the way through until June, take a break. And yeah.
But we baby step it. That's the best part about it. Like, we'll start a walk, but it'll be a short walk for a couple of weeks. And then we'll eventually just make it longer and longer. And then the stretching. Mm-hmm. Incorporating that.
Let's recap our summer a little bit. We kind of started off our summer late April. I know that sounds really early, but I feel like that's when our travel started. We went to Hawaii, started off our travels for a speech Marcus had with Life Surge.
Yeah.
And
ran across one of the Shark Tank guys.
Yes, Robert Herjavec.
Yeah.
And
that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and Bethany Hamilton was there. Shark.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was really cool. And we got to
do... Had a great crew. That whole thing ran real smooth.
Yeah, Life Surge was great. And then we got to do the Trident Adventures.
Yeah, okay, so if you haven't been to Hawaii, take a trip out there. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And experience the island.
Go
to Pearl Harbor, see all of that. Diamond Head's out there. Get out in the water. It's wonderful. Take a trip down to Waikiki to Duke's. You know, you got to do the whole experience. And then one of my teammates started a company out there called Trident Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever wanted to jump out of a helicopter, if you want to go scuba diving, he provides all that for civilians. I mean, he'll literally throw your ass out of a helicopter into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I threw my son out, both of them actually.
Yeah. We need to clip a little video in.
Yeah, go check out their Instagram and TikTok. They've got a ton of videos that have went viral.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been scuba diving lately, they have these automated engines, battery-powered engines that you can hold on to.
Like a propeller.
Like a fan that pushes you through the water. Mm-hmm. You can lay on top of it, but you can also straddle it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. It's been a minute since I've been on scuba and, mm-hmm. and went down, but once we jumped out of the helicopter, he tossed me one of those things. I'd never used one before, and I straddled it, put it on, and it took me about 3 minutes to get the hang of it. And your fins actually become rudders, and it was literally felt like I was flying down there.
That's so
it
cool.
Was the most fun. I was chasing sea turtles and
the octopus.
Yeah, the octopus, and going through the coral reef and everything like that. And if you haven't been on one of those, or if you haven't been scubaing in a while, get that done, because mm-hmm. it changed that whole experience completely.
Yeah, a bucket list item to add to your list is definitely going out with Trident Adventures on Oahu.
Yeah, you just got to get that done.
And jump out of the helicopter, or just do the scuba if you don't want to jump out of the helicopter.
The helicopter, they got a 160th guy flying that sucker. Mm-hmm. I mean, crusty too. Got probably like 20,000 hours underneath his belt, right? I mean, there's no doors on this thing, and he's just up. He shows up. They got a Magnum PI Ferrari out in the shop, so you can go get your picture taken with
when you get there to check in.
Yeah, when you get there to check in.
Yeah.
So there's some nostalgia to it, and then that pilot comes rolling out there on the tarmac, and he's like, get in, we're going. And I mean, you strap in, and he just, the ride out there was awesome.
Yeah.
Because he could fly. That sucker, he could fly.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been in a helicopter, you know the guys who can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can feel that. And this guy, man, he had some skills. It was a lot of fun. That was a great trip, actually.
Yeah. We need to do that again.
We do. And then you went to Ireland after that, right?
No,
went to San Antonio after that for a wedding.
Yeah, it's just like Ireland.
We skip several months before we get to Ireland. So after Hawaii, we had Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And Memorial Day, we went to the Danny Dietz Memorial Roping, which is up in Decatur.
Decatur, Texas.
Yeah. That event, it's every Memorial Day, the Danny Dietz Memorial. It's really awesome. They bring out a lot of Gold Star families.
If you're big into rodeos, you need to go check that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
All the cowboys there, everybody, there's a bunch of us running around there. The food was great. It's growing too.
Just a way to respect the fallen on Memorial Day.
Yeah. This was the 20-year anniversary of Operation Red Wing. Mm-hmm. So we did all the memorials.
And Gulab came out.
Yeah, Gulab came out. And one of his sons, some of his family came out to see us. So it was good to catch up with him. Yeah, it was a great event. I love going up there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Patsy and DJ do a really good job with it. And Brad Geary spoke. He was great.
Yeah, the Capones. Everybody showed
up. Yeah, there was a lot of people that showed up. Yeah, it was really, really good. But that is every Memorial Day. So if you're ever looking for something to do to pay respects to the fallen on Memorial Day and you're in the Dallas area, that's one that's
100%
really good.
Fort Worth, Dallas area, anywhere up there. Make sure you go to that.
So shortly after that, we went to Las Vegas, and we went to the Tom Brady and Jim Gray partnered up, and they opened a sports museum in the Fontainebleau Hotel. And it's really cool. They have some really cool artifacts in there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job with that. And there's a guy in the Fontainebleau when you walk in there, and his name is Bruce Lee. And if you ever get to Vegas to stay at that hotel, ask for him, because he's a great guy. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Bruce Lee. That was one of the highlights of the trip, was running into him.
That's funny.
Yeah. Then we got to see Mark. He was there. But that museum was definitely something. And then we went to the Shane Patton.
Yes. Okay. I am so naive to this. I didn't realize that Boulder City was like 30 minutes from Las Vegas. So we went and saw the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
And then we went to see the Patton family. Shane Patton was one of the SEALs that was killed on the helicopter during Red Wing. And there is a statue that just unveiled of him on June 28th. His family did such a good job with this statue.
It's probably one of the best ones.
It is so...
Hands down, it was just like him.
awesome. How
the way he's standing, everything is.
The artist that did it was in like Poland or something, somewhere in Europe. But they did
freaking nailed it,
and it's huge. Yeah. I mean, this super tall, huge statue, right in the middle of a beautiful park, and. The middle of this, I didn't realize that Boulder City was really pretty.
It's so if you get to Vegas, if you've never been to Boulder City, you go check out the dam.
Just go make a day of it.
There's grass there. You got the desert, and all of a sudden, then there's Boulder City, and they have all the cool stores and the shops and that bar we went and ate at, and
cute restaurants.
Man, it was.
There's also a lake up there if you want to go have a little lake day.
Yeah,
it's worth seeing for sure.
Yeah,
and then if you ever go do hit all the memorial statues, all the seal statues around the country, make sure you go there. Because his is exceptional.
Yeah, it was really good. So you can look that up on the Shane Patton Foundation website, but anybody can just go. It's in the middle of the park. It's really, really cool. I would definitely go see that. But we got to
that
go.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Sounds great. They have a big parade every year.
Yeah. For 4th of July.
4th of July, right?
Yeah, really, really cute place.
What was that, Dillinger's Bar? Is that where we went to go eat? I think it was Dillinger's.
Yeah, I think so.
That's right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. So swing in there and have a beer and a burger.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah. I hope so, because it had pictures of John Dillinger all over the wall.
Yeah, it was named after him.
That was cool, right? Yeah, we eased off in there.
And then there was a coffee shop, too.
Yeah.
The Coffee Cup Cafe has really... just ton of memorabilia on the wall, but they have a lot of Shane Patton stuff too. So that town has really embraced the Patton family. It's where they're from. He grew up there. The dad and brother still live there. So it's just really
neat. Great.
Yeah. Speaking of statues of seals, specifically from Red Wing, if anybody who just is in these areas and wants to go see in right outside of Denver in Littleton, there's the Danny Dietz Memorial. That one's a great statue. In Cupertino, California, near San Jose and south of San Francisco, if I'm right on my geography there. In the main park in Cupertino, there's Matt Axelson and James Suh, because James was from that area as well.
Chris Kyle.
Yeah, not Red Wing related, but Chris Kyle is in Odessa, I believe, like near the Midland-Odessa airport.
Mm-hmm.
Like an hour from there. No, not an hour.
Yeah, it's over there.
It's somewhere near the airport. In Patchogue, New York, on Long Island, there's a Michael Murphy Memorial and a museum. It's called the Michael Murphy Museum, but it's all... seals, mm-hmm. Kind of the history of the seals. And then you've got your seal museums down one in...
They're also doing the CrossFit Murph out there now.
Yeah, the CrossFit Murph in Patchogue.
So if you want to get that qual, if you're a CrossFitter mm-hmm. and you do the Murph every year on Memorial Day, take your butt up there.
Yeah.
And get that qual on t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it keeps growing every year.
Yeah.
People have been flying in from everywhere to go there to do that.
Mm-hmm. But the Navy SEAL Museum in Florida, it's Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And then they're opening one up in San Diego, too.
Yeah. And then the Medal of Honor Museum in Dallas.
Yes. The Medal of Honor Museum is Yeah. So if y'all are in any of those areas, take the time to just
go. Is Cassidy running that still?
Chris Cassidy is, yeah.
Okay, so he's a SEAL and he's an astronaut, too. So go in there and ask him all kinds of crazy questions.
Yeah, super smart.
Smart guy, yeah. Great guy, man.
Went to Las Vegas. We went to Boulder City.
If you're ever in Las Vegas, you want to go see a show. But I normally won't talk about guys like this, man. But I and it's my first show I'd ever been to, but I went and watched David Copperfield. And if you haven't been in there to see that guy do his thing, man, it was something.
That was nuts.
It was, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff he pulled off, Hunter and I were sitting right on the stage. Like, I had my elbows on the stage. And the there was two in particular, man. When that car showed up.
The car,
and the UFO.
That UFO was pretty gnarly. I mean, it was so big,
it was
too.
Huge.
I don't know.
I'm trying to tell people, I'm like, hey, no, there was a UFO in the building. And they're like, oh, right? I was like, no, you know, look, bigger than this room. And it was just there. And it flew out. I mean, it was something. We got a chance to go backstage and meet him, too, man. He was pulling some car tricks and doing everything. But I was kind of enamored with when he made that car appear and that freaking UFO.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing in Las Vegas, everybody wants to stay on the Strip because that's, you know, where everything is. But if you're there for a couple of days and you don't want to stay on the Strip, Red Rocks,
they hit the Red Rock,
is amazing.
It's the best.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was the best.
They had the coolest bowling alley. We got to take the kids, and that was the biggest bowling alley I've ever seen.
Great steakhouse.
Yeah, their steakhouse is great.
If you ever run across a guy named Patrick Lewis in Vegas, he's probably one of the best human beings on the planet of Earth, too.
Yeah. Hands down. It's right in the middle of like a mall area. So if you're in Vegas and you don't want to do the casino, you know, gambling stuff, go.
Well, they have that too.
Well, they actually have Red Rock there. Yeah. They have that there. But the hotel is really, really cool.
They got some pretty crazy rooms there too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, the rooms.
They have everything, the pools, everything that they have on the Strip, man. It's just tucked out on the side. Golf courses and all. There's a mall right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the bowling alley was something.
The bowling alley was awesome. We loved a bowl.
That's true.
Okay. After that, we went to Lake Tahoe. We got to see the Gallery family.
Yeah.
Robert Gallery, former NFL player. He's been on our podcast before. That was so much fun. We love Lake Tahoe. We're officially fans of Lake Tahoe.
That was the best.
That was so fun. Being out on that lake, it was just stunning.
That thing's so clear.
Yeah.
And clean. You can drink out of it.
It was so nice. And that family is just amazing. Then we went over to
Hunter and I have been talking about throwing a SEAL reunion. We've been kind of scouring the country of where we could do that.
South Lake Tahoe.
I think South Lake Tahoe is the place to go.
So all you SEALs out there.
2028.
For our 2028 reunion, I think we've pinned a spot down. I think it's South Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Because they have the casinos there. There's enough rooms to house all of us. They have that golf course. They have the lake.
Yeah, Edgewood.
Edgewood and there is a freaking course. McPee's there.
Yeah, McPee's was there.
I mean, right in the middle of town. I didn't know he had that.
Yeah.
He got in there and put one right in the middle of town, right in the middle of all those casinos. It's probably the only place, and it's centrally located, and it's beautiful. I think that's where we're probably going to do it.
I think so, pass that around, boys. Yeah. And then we go over to the Nevada, like, we went over the mountain range and we were in Genoa, Nevada, and we went to the Matt Axelson golf tournament.
Yeah.
And that is always on June 28th. So if you're looking for something to do that's a Red Wing Memorial every year, they have it every single year.
I can't believe they let us on that golf course because it was the week before the Pro-Am, right?
That was at Edgewood.
In Genoa. Excuse me, yes.
So, but in Genoa is the Axelson golf tournament.
That's right.
And that was really, really neat. The family puts all of their energy into this. They do a really good job.
Just all the team guys that showed up, man. That was a blast.
Yeah.
That was a real good time.
Yeah. So that was awesome. So what we did June 28th. We came home and we were supposed to go to Idaho. And July 4th weekend, there was a terrible storm that came over Texas, and I'm sure all the listeners heard about what happened at Camp Mystic. And Marcus and Morgan were two of thousands of people, and Hunter were just a small number of volunteers that went out, and y'all were there for 8 days doing search and recovery. And that, I mean, that was the saddest thing I think you've ever been a part of.
Red Wing is terrible. We're talking about babies.
Yeah, you're talking about babies. Little girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, drove up straight from 4th of July.
Yeah.
I was in Cinnamon Shores.
Yeah.
And had Marcus, to rent a car and drive up.
Yeah. They were all in different spots, but they just went out there and joined in to the many, many, many volunteers and worked every day.
I remember my brother called, because like you said, we were supposed to go to Idaho. Mm-hmm. And he called that night and he's like, grab your kit. Mm-hmm. We're going to Kerrville to Mystic. And I was like, okay. So I grabbed my go bag. I called Hunter. I was like, hey, get your shit, man. We're freaking rolling. Morgan rolled up the night before I did. He stayed the night in his truck. And then the next morning he got up and then he patched up inside the command center. Was that the Kerrville Youth Center? Let me tell you something about Texas, okay? Hands down, Texans, you hear me out there? Y'all are the best people on the planet of Earth. When we rolled in there to see what was going down, because it was a conglomerate of every police officer you can imagine that we got, and some of them you don't even know we have. They were in there. Mm-hmm. Hats off to the DPS. They always look professional in the black and whites, the highway boys. Man, no matter what we're doing, they look right. And they were locking down the road. This is in the beginning. This is when we were still trying to get a battle rhythm. There was the command center in there. And those suckers are so professional. You don't take no shit from anybody, man. You don't mess with the highway boys or the Rangers, right? And then they were all there. And then we kind of go in, and Morgan buddies up with the Kerrville SWAT team. And they had this big battle wagon that they were rolling in because they were on body recovery. And I hooked up with a state rep the first day, and he kind of drove me around to assess the damage. Now, you got to understand, when the flood came through the mountain, it hit Mystic at the headwater, but the river is 120 miles. And it was complete devastation through the entire thing. I mean, people scattered from the beginning to the end. They were finding them. And the game wardens showed up. You want to know who could get into anywhere in Texas? It's freaking game wardens. And they were badasses. We hooked up with this one old boy, man. I don't know if he'd want me to say his name, but he was running that cadaver dog.
Yep.
He was legit. I mean, hands down legit, dude. And we got out there, we buddied up with him, and we up first thing, everything in the morning, man. They do this brief, all right? And there's this big screen, just like you would think it would look like, right? And everyone gets their marching orders. And then this company called Cotton came in, and they set up all these trailers, and these dudes are just in there cooking barbecue for free. I mean, and feeding everybody. That was the one thing about it, is like you would literally walk in the valley of death. I mean, there was just decimation, and like you can't even believe what it looked like in there.
Cotton is always there.
Yeah. And then as soon as you walk out of the valley, out of that river, there are people there giving you food. Nothing, you'd pay for anything. Like, you never went hungry. You always had change of clothes. There's just people. The Christians showed up. I mean, and all these, dude, there's so many people that came into this. But freaking game wardens, man. Those freaking cadaver dogs. The constables from Waller showed up, ran into them. His old boy had his dog out there. And that was a game changer. The freaking, because we would get on at the headwater of the river and just walk down the river, same spot, keep every day. And you could walk over something 5 or 10 times and then go back and finally find somebody. And then those dogs came in and started sniffing things out. But the game changer, the ones that changed the dynamic of every single thing, were those excavator drivers. Those big heavy equipment boys, when they rolled in.
They're putting in work.
I mean, putting the freaking work in. Those guys and the skid steer drivers. So if you showed up with one of those, thank you. They'll never get any credit. Never. No one even know their name. There was about 5 or 6 SEALs, some SF dudes, some Marines, and there was a hodgepodge of all of us. We're just kind of standing there, and each one of us got assigned to one of those excavators. Our guy, I'll never forget this dude. Country. God, dude, everything about him screamed country. He had jeans tucked into rubber boots, you know. Remember him?
Yeah.
Dude, he was a badass. And he'd crawl into that river in that excavator and start, because the piles of debris were probably 15, 20 feet tall. And then the problem was when the water came through, it pulled up all these cypress trees. And then the dirt from underneath the cypress trees buried everybody. And then that debris came through and stacked on top of it. Mm. So if... In the beginning, we were out there with shovels and chainsaws just trying to pull it. It would take you freaking a month just to uncover one pile. These dudes came in those excavators, And they were so good at that. They could reach that claw out and just like they were barely scraping it. Mm-hmm. And our guy, his wife was there. I'll never forget her, man. She would sit on the, remember
trooper.
Her?
Trooper. She's such a trooper.
She'd sit on the outside of the cab. He was in the cab. She'd sit on the outside of it. And she would not move all day.
Just she sitting right next
so
to him.
So freaking laser focused. She would be staring at that pile. And he'd and we would all be kind of standing around looking, just watching, waiting for something. And he'd uncover a log or something, and there'd be a helmet or a shoe, and she'd like, stop. And she'd point, and we'd go in like freaking like dogs, man. And she would, and she never took her eyes off that pile. And then when we found it, we'd back up, and she'd be like, go. Remember that? I mean, you were talking about a mama bear. She did not play around. It was the most, I'll never forget them. I'll never forget her.
She was putting in a lot of
work.
Oh,
my God, dude.
All day.
Never forget her. Those excavator boys, because like I said, the dog would strike on a pile, and we'd surround it, and then they'd come in, and they'd start pulling all that stuff off of them, and eventually, you know, we'd get in there and find them. And they were just, them and those skid steer guys, they were the freaking game changers, man.
It was cool to see all the teamwork with that. Oh. I mean, everybody kind of coming together. There are so many people out there. But, yeah, just seeing how everybody kind of had their own little personal space.
Well, and it's hard, like, for like me, sitting back at home, everybody's saying it for, that's out of state. How can we help? How can we help? And I'm like, there's so many ways to help because there's not only the volunteers doing the search and recovery, but then you've got the volunteers that are feeding those people, housing those people, housing and feeding the people that lost their homes or their RVs or were, they were there camping, and a lot of people were there camping and lost.
Because it's 4th of July.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m., this thing came rolling in.
Yeah. So they were displaced and getting them all taken care of. There were so many different variables to, it wasn't just the camp. There were so many people along this river that were affected.
Yeah.
So there were so many different ways to be able to pitch in and volunteer, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people came together to do that. And I'm just proud of y'all as a mom and wife. Dude,
that
proud of y'all
SWAT
for
team,
being
that
part of that.
The Kerrville SWAT team, those guys riding around that green wagon, that's who Mojo was with. They put the work in because they had to go pick up everybody. Everybody we found. I couldn't imagine what the mortician was having to go through. The coroner. You know what I mean? Having to see all that. Because we would see three, four maybe. They would see everything. And then, dude, man, these freaking rednecks would show up with their barbecue pits. People were handing out fuel for free. I mean, this one boy had cut-off Wranglers. Let me paint you a picture. He had a Metallica t-shirt on, had a neck cut out of it. And in those cowboy boots and sunglasses on, those reflector sunglasses. And probably started drinking a month ago, right? Remember that dude, the guy that sold the hot dogs? He's like, man, your hot dog's the best hot dog you'll ever have, man. Are you hungry? You need anything you need, I got you. I got you. That kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you, we come out of that valley just beat to death. Because one of the most difficult things was the search. Like, you got to understand the situation we were in. Like, you're looking for something, hoping you don't find it. But then you're praying to God you do. But there was stuff, all their clothes and everything was everywhere. Like flip-flops, their little shorts, and their, you know, all their toys. They had all their boxes they had were glittered up and had their names on it. You know, I mean, we're talking about girls at camp, right? So Imagine what that looks like. It was everywhere, from the ground buried to the tops of the trees. There were cars in trees and then stuck in the middle of the trees and then completely buried. And then there was I remember this dumpster was, it looked like somebody had taken like a ball of foil and rolled it up, and that's how strong the water was. And then the houses were completely decimated. Anybody who was out there knows exactly what I'm talking about with this. There was this guardrail.
Mm-hmm. Twisted.
It was twisted.
Like a Twizzler.
I'll never forget it. You know, it's like when you lay it out, just talking about it doesn't do it justice. But whoever has went out there, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of death, because it just wasn't, it was in all that animal, and horses, cows, fish, mm-hmm. you know, there was from everything. We were having to scour through that looking for the babies. And, dude, these people would show up. There was that guy, Dave, with the chainsaw, I'll never forget him. Mm-hmm. And then Diver Dale. We got to talk about Diver Dale. And then he showed up, and then these oh, the paramedics, man, for was it Kerrville or actually Hunt? No, Hunt. I think it was the Hunt boys, right? Yeah. When we were diving with that day, they were great. I think his name was Chase, was one of the guys I was pounding around with. So if you're out there, bro.
And Kendall.
Yeah, so the SEALs show. I don't feel like, I mean, yeah, I feel bad about talking about
it. I feel like we can say Aaron Kendall just because we know him so well. The other people we won't name just because we don't know if they want to be named or not. But Aaron Kendall put out.
And Greg, Fro.
They put freaking out.
And then there was Mikey, Greg, Kendall, James. There was, like I said, there was three or four SF dudes because there were Marine out there with us. And we kind of like buddied up together. We became our own little team. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, there was a Marine colonel. I'll never forget this dude. He made he established his own camp out there next to everybody else. And I mean, you want to talk about, he had maps laid out with grid locations. So then you had the police. And then when the government moved in, you could tell. You automatically knew when they showed up. It was because before we got the battle rhythm, we were doing our thing. And then obviously when the big brother shows up, they lock it down.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, a lot of people get butthurt over it, but that's just the way it is. It has to be done that way.
Y'all left a few days after that.
Yeah, we left right after that.
Yeah.
Understandably. It's when they start running the show, you know, we just kind of backed out of there. There's still SEALs there today, though. We're still missing one. Her name is actually SEAL. And I know that the guys are still looking for her, but... To the families of the fallen out there, I don't have the words to describe it. My heart goes out to you. I couldn't imagine your loss and what you're having to go through. Just know that Texas loves you, and everyone around the United States loves you, and they know about it. If you're driving around, and you see those green ribbons tied up on the tree and stuff like that. That's what that represents. The mystics. And
if you drive through Houston, you'll see green ribbons on gates and mailboxes and trees and all of that. If you're from out of town and you're wondering what that is, it's for all the lives lost. Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what we go through down here as humans. When you lose your child, that's the hardest. That's the hardest gauntlet and burden that can be strapped on you.
Yeah.
Hands down. And for them, that I would. You know, just when you see, what do you say? Stay strong. You know, keep.
Stay strong. Keep your head up.
Yeah, you know. I mean, what do you say? You
can't. There's really nothing you can say. Anything, say really. I mean, but just
be there.
Our hearts are with you and hurt for you.
Yeah, just keep looking and just if they, you know, if you need anything or just I don't know the way Texans come together. It's just the fact that we were all there.
Seeing all the love in that town.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, people supported everybody. Even that Camp Waldemort, it called?
Okay, yeah, that's great. Thank you for reminding me of that. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, they invited us in. I guess it's a nearby camp in the area. And obviously nobody's staying there anymore, but they had kitchens filled with food and beds unslept in and invited us out to just give us a nice place to calm down after the day ends.
That's where they stored us.
That's where my little sister
Camp
goes.
Voldemort. Uh-huh. It's not from Harry Potter. Yeah. That's not the way that's the way we were saying it.
Voldemort. First time we got a nice shower and a bed.
Yeah, a hot shower and a bed. And the staff was still there. And the lady that was running it, God, man, you walk into the main lodge and there's pictures of the ladies who've run this camp since the 1900s, right?
They're identical. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean they're they're all beautiful looking too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I remember looking, I'm like, man, look at that! This is freaking unbelievable, man. And then, I mean, it's a line of mothers to daughters, I think.
Yeah.
And then the whole staff was still there cooking for us, so we'd come in at night, and then they'd cook, and then we lay down in the bunk beds. Mm-hmm. That's where we're staying in the bunk houses, and then get up in the morning and breakfast, and then we'd go back out and go and rally up and start doing the thing, because it turned from a recovery and then to it was also moving the debris, so there was multiple things going on at one time, and everybody kind of got their battle rhythm together. Like Hunter was just saying, it's like there was people who knew that their job was to cook. And there was food all the time everywhere. The Christians opened up the churches. We had our little platoon space in one of these churches in the highway. We just went in there and took it over. And then those boys with the barbecue pits, man, they were clutch. And this one guy had a fuel truck he had parked on the side. And then the excavators and the skid steer boys, they were just rolling in. I mean, it looked like a lot that you would go buy these suckers. They're brand new. A lot of them, they were just moving them in brand new. And all through the river, that's all that was down in there was us and those excavators. And then we got on scuba and went down, was searching the bottom and then the sides. And then there was airboats out there. I don't know if the Cajun Navy.
Yeah.
They were there, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never got a chance.
There was a ton of volunteers all down the river. Yeah. Just different.
I know something bad happens. Cajun Navy shows up.
Yeah. Different patches, like Marcus is saying, like different teams would get put together and just volunteers all down the river.
I called and checked with Greg yesterday. He said there's still boys up there. Everyone's still.
Yeah.
And we'll keep looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody, I'll tell you this. For the whole time we were there, man, everybody I laid my eyes on was putting out, mm-hmm. like busting their ass. And it's easy to yell at people during a crisis because they're trying to get that battle rhythm, but them suckers were working sun up, sun down, and in between, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. From the sheriff on down.
Yeah.
Those freaking game wardens, man.
We just want to say to everyone who showed up, all the volunteers, I mean, there were thousands. Just thank you for doing that because that's what Texas is.
You can see it at their best. I mean, it's kind of one of those deals. It's harmful to see it, mm-hmm. because you know how good it can get.
Yeah.
Like if our life was like that all the time, people acted like that all the time, it'd be a different place here.
Well, remember when we used to have, when you drive down Texas roads, it would say the friendly state.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore, or I don't see them anymore. Yeah, I don't know where that went. We really are the friendly state because anytime, whether it's Harvey or this flood, whatever it is, everyone comes together of all walks of life and just does like what Marcus and Hunter are saying. Like if you know that your specialty is to cook or to have clothes out ready, whatever it is, like everybody does their part and comes together to make it better.
It was unbelievable. It was just, I think it was the only way we got through that. Mm-hmm. The only way you could survive down in that riverbed and having to deal with all that was mm-hmm. when you came out of that valley and when everyone was around.
So after that, Hunter took Axe. You had a speech going on. I was in Mexico, but Hunter took Axe to the Naval Academy. Mm-hmm. And Axe went to the Naval Academy baseball and leadership camp.
Him and a friend. I was a full-on chaperone.
Yeah, Hunter was a full-on chaperone. Axe and his friend went, and we are officially pushing for our kid to go to the Naval Academy.
I want to go there so bad.
Or LSU.
Or LSU.
Split down the middle.
Yeah. But that was a neat experience for them. We went to the congressional baseball game this summer in D.C., we got to do all the tours. Every time we go to DC, we do all the touristy things just because we feel like with the kids being their age, they need to see all the monuments.
Yeah. Don't act like you don't like it too.
I do like it. And
let me point this out too. If you ever wanted a real opportunity to yell at your congressman, you go to the baseball game. It's truly the America's game. Because we're all there, and then the people who are playing are the elected officials. Mm-hmm. You know, and this it's obviously the Democrats against the Republicans. Mm-hmm. In an actual baseball stadium televised. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, if you go to D.C. and you have a chance to go do that. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's really neat.
It's not a professional game.
No, and it's at the National Stadium.
But it feels
stadium.
Professional.
But it feels professional.
Yeah, it's at the MLB stadium.
I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. It's the something. Nationals. It's definitely something, man. I tell you what, if I'd have known I was going to get to watch my brother play in a professional baseball game as a catcher, I never saw that one coming. But he does great.
Yeah, it's just a really neat time.
And people always ask me because my brother and I are identical twins, if we've ever switched since he's been a congressman, if I ever went in to vote or anything like that. And I'm like, no, I won't do that because the people voted him in to go vote. But I will say the only time I did switch with him was at the baseball game. I actually caught for him, and it was the year that we got MVP.
You know that's not true.
You're, I don't know.
You're stirring up stuff.
I like that story.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
You're stirring up stuff.
Because the other
year
he didn't get it, but the year he did get MVP, I was the one catching, and no one will know the difference because I had a mask on. So,
oh my gosh. Everybody's going to be like, what?
I'm sticking with that.
That is not true.
Yeah, but I put it out there, though, so what's up?
Oh my gosh.
It was the year he knocked out that ref.
He knocked somebody out?
He knocked the ref out. Remember that? It was on the cover of the magazine at the game.
He didn't actually put hands on him.
Yeah, he most certainly did. He knocked that fool out like it. I mean, he knocked that dude out like he looked like he had been crucified. You don't remember him hitting the ground, arms out?
No.
Well, he elbowed him.
He elbowed him?
Yeah, at home plate. You remember that? I mean, no. I did. That was actually the year he got MVP.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Okay. And then we actually split up for the summer. I had to go do stuff. You had to go do stuff. So our last, like, 6 weeks of summer or 4 weeks of summer were just really crazy. We were all in different places. But we came home and I got the best news. I don't know if y'all remember on the podcast with Monica with Safe Haven Baby Boxes. But ever since she's been on, which was about this time last year, I've been trying to get a Safe Haven Baby Box in the Houston area. And we finally have one coming to Magnolia and one to Tomball. So those unveilings are...
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
No, really, you did a lot of hard work doing that.
I did a lot of...
I love you so much for doing that.
Behind the scenes work on that. But tons of people donated. Cotton, again, Cotton's always coming in when we need them. The Cotton Foundation installed the boxes. The installation itself is cost separate than the box. So they donated and did the construction for
the
installation.
That's such a great organization. If you're in Texas, you're driving the road and you see a truck says Cotton on the side of it, wrap your horn, man, and give them the throw up a deuce and wave at them, man, because they're all great people.
Great people.
And they're probably out there saving somebody or saving something.
Yeah. So they, huge thanks to Cotton, but also to all the donors. Our church was really involved, so I'm just super grateful for that. September 2nd and 3rd are the unveilings of those. So that was just a neat thing at the end of the summer to come home to get that news that that's been done. And we have coming up September 12th and 13th is the Danny Dietz barbecue cook-off.
Yeah.
At the Yogi Bear Jellystone Park in Waller. And there's all kinds of competitions. Like, you can have your kids enter to do, like, there's a whole kids thing. There's a steak challenge. There's a concert the night of the 12th with the Bart Crow Band. There's lots of things. So it's the 12th and 13th. Look up Danny Dietz Foundation, Danny Dietz Memorial Foundation. And there's that coming up. And
I finished out my trips in Philly.
Well, you went from Philly to Coronado.
To San Diego, Coronado. Mm. But I tell you what, Hunter and I got to go into Princeton.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get accepted there back in the day. Like, I don't know what happened with that. But
and Axe.
Yeah, and Axe was with us. If you've ever been there to see that town, it's great. And if just walking through Princeton, you feel smarter. I mean, it's something that
I did feel a little elevated.
Really? I did too, man. I did too. With the rock.
What year was it?
The Gothic.
What's that?
Do you know what year it was built?
Of course. I'll post it on the website. But I mean, I had all that Gothic buildings with the wooden doors, and then it was, the town was great too. We had a lot of fun there. And then.
They were founded in 1746.
Dang. Yeah.
Back in the day.
That's crazy.
That before the United States of America.
Yeah. And then ended up in Coronado, finished off there.
Yeah. We did get to binge watch some shows this summer. We went on a Billy Bob Thornton kick.
Yeah, which is great.
Loved. We freaking
He's a freaking superhero now, man. That guy's on everything.
Goliath.
Great show. If you haven't seen Goliath, go watch it.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. And
four seasons.
We needed more Billy Bob Thornton, so we watched Landman.
Landman, another great show.
Great
one
show.
Season.
So good.
If you haven't seen Fargo, it's great.
And then I don't know why. Oh, I think it was because I was going to Ireland with Addy. I got you on Downton Abbey.
I'll never admit to that. That I watched all six seasons of Downton Abbey.
It was so good. But from there...
I did watch Goliath, though.
From there, we got on this like period piece kick or a royal kick, and we started watching The Crown, which we're still on.
No. I'm a huge Queen Elizabeth fan.
And we watched 1923.
Yeah.
That's what got us on the period piece. Yeah.
Taylor did a good job with that one.
Oh my gosh.
It was a good one.
I loved 1923. I can't really get into 1883. I've tried, but 1923 is so good.
1886?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah, 23 was good.
While you're watching Downton Abbey over there, I'm watching another great show called Chief of War. That's one thing you've gotta check out. I don't know if it might be your cup of tea.
Like because it sounds a little more manly. I did watch
it. Might be something else, but it's Jason Momoa. Have you heard of it?
Oh, it's Hawaii.
Jason Momoa, all the absolutely. Indigenous.
You know what? I started that actually, the first episode.
So good.
And then Primal Rage.
Mm-hmm.
That was Berg. He did a great job on that one. It was pretty intense, man. If you hadn't seen that one, it's good. If you're looking for some shows.
Well, and we've got football coming up.
Amen.
Go Tiger.
Go Texans.
Both. So yeah, that's our summer wrap. We had a great summer. It was very, very busy. I feel like we weren't really home at all, but it was meaningful.
Flew by. We came back and now our kid's a freshman in high school.
I know. Axe is a freshman in high school now. And
think about that. I mean, there's people who've been listening to it, but he was born.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a freshman in high school. I remember when Hunter started as a freshman and you don't, but you
I don't even remember him being in high school about so fast. I remember him going to high school as a freshman. Then the day I gave him my truck keys and I watched him drive off. I remember that very vividly. And then I remember him telling me he got into LSU. I don't remember anything, it's weird. I'm sorry, does that make me a bad parent?
No, you had a lot going on then.
And then Adelaide, eighth grade now. She's about to be a teenager in a couple weeks.
She's going to be 13 next week. And then she's got, she's in volleyball.
Yeah. I was talking about this earlier in the barbershop. Like she comes down now smelling like a Zephora factory. And
oh, yeah.
She throws a side hug on me now.
She's a side hugger now.
I
don't like that either.
Hug.
Yeah.
Or the allowance for Zephora is coming away.
Yeah.
What the hell's a side hug, dude?
Yeah. I get the side hug too. It's so annoying.
It comes back though, right? It comes back around?
Oh, yeah. It'll come back around.
I mean, so much so that I noticed it.
Oh, yeah. And it's a barely side hug. Yeah, it's like here's my shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got to me.
Yeah. It gets to me all the time.
You don't really have any weaknesses until your kids are born. Then you're vulnerable.
And Axe is really wanting to be a good golfer.
Yeah, when I walked upstairs the other day to wake him up, he had a golf club in the bed with him. I was like, what the?
Finally,
voice has changed, too.
He's got a deep voice.
Yeah, his voice has changed now, so.
Yeah. We're finally getting
to him. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Like, where's my razor?
Yeah, it's weird. The kids are growing up, and Hunter's got this travel thing going on. The travel business is doing really well.
Doing great.
And real estate is about to start up with Hunter as well. So
the app is looking good.
Yeah, the app, the Via app is looking good.
Yeah, good
almost
job.
Here.
I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah.
We're making moves on it.
Yeah, so we've had a busy family summer and lots of things, moving parts, lots of things.
We got
Ibogaine
passed.
Ibogaine on June, I want to say 11th or 12th, something like that, Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick signed the approval for the FDA trials.
For Ibogaine. So thank you.
For Ibogaine in Texas. So huge thank you to all of our Texas legislature, Cody Harris.
Yeah. Especially him for running that down.
Yes. Lois Kolkhorst.
Governor Patrick, Governor Abbott, thank y'all so much for taking a look at that and doing that.
Huge, huge, huge thank you.
It'll save a lot of lives.
Yeah. So thank you. And we hope everybody else had a great summer. Let us know what you did.
Let us know in the comments. We'd love to see what you did and maybe what you wanted to do, but didn't get able to.
Yeah. Bucket list for next year.
Yep. All right. Thank you guys for listening. See you next time.